Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, we had Sarah Kearns, an ICU nurse and founder of Baseline First Aid, on a couple of weeks ago to tell us how to do CPR properly. And we had an amazing response. So we thought we would get Sarah back for some more life-saving tips, because that's what she's very good at. Sarah, you're very welcome to the show again.
Hi, thanks for having
me. You can take that off.
Oh, no mask.
Yeah, because we're far away.
It feels so good when you take them off.
Now, listen, I wanted to talk about toxic shock syndrome because a friend of mine had a friend in hospital with it, a 16-year-old. And then we were talking about it in the office, and then my producer had a friend who went through it. And I thought, God, it's kind of rare, but it still happens, toxic shock syndrome. And there's lots of misconceptions around it, but it's something Irish women are terrified about since, you know, we were teenagers. So what is toxic shock syndrome?
So it's a really rare, but it can be really rare infection, but it can be really serious. So even though it's rare, I trained with a girl and she was in ICU for 6 days with it. So even though it is rare, I feel like so many of us know stories of people. And so what it is, bacteria gets into the bloodstream and releases these toxins, and these toxins basically just attack the whole body. So 50% of cases happen from the bacteria gets in from like tampons, menstrual cycle use. So little ears, actually a little ears warning for a couple of topics we're going to talk about. And then the other 50% actually affects men, women of all ages, children.
Men can get it.
Well, yeah, but that's because 50% comes from what we know of it, the, you know, tampon use, menstrual cup use, all that sort of thing, right? But the other 50%, the bacteria gets in through grazes. You might have a cut on your knee or surgery. There's loads of different ways. So the bacteria, whatever way the skin is open, the bacteria can get in. It gets into the bloodstream, releases these toxins, and you can get really sick. So it's only 50% of these rare situations that actually arise from tampons. But when we hear toxic shock, all we can think of is tampons.
Tampons. Yeah. You said something there. You said a menstrual cup. Can you get toxic shock syndrome from
there's
the use of a
lot of articles kind of highlighting it, even though this is the whole problem with any of this. Okay, so why tampons, any of these things, if you leave them in too long, it's the perfect environment for bacteria to grow.
Gotcha.
So tampons, that's what everything is related to tampons. So if you put in a tampon that is too absorbent for your current flow in your cycle, you leave it in too long. So the max you should ever leave a tampon in is 8 hours. But just say you have a menstrual cup or a diaphragm in or something, a barrier method of contraception or whatever. If you leave it in too long, bacteria can start to grow. Then it gets into your bloodstream, and then you can get in trouble from that. So it's all, when we think of tampons, it goes back to the 1980s. Where they released these super, super absorbent tampons. And they said, listen, leave these things in for a day, you'll be grand. And that's when people started getting really sick. So they withdrew them off the market. And now if you read the leaflet in a tampon box, they're really specific. They're saying, listen, change them regularly, change the tampons regularly. The other thing that I have certainly experienced, and any GP nurse, anyone in an emergency department would tell you, at the end of your cycle, if you're using a tampon that is too absorbent for your flow, so just say you're still on a regular, but actually all you need is a mini tampon, you can just leave it in for that. You forget all about it. And then the other thing is, so this is a listener discretion, but what I've experienced is people using the mini tampons at the end of their cycle, they actually don't even need them. A panty liner would do. And then they totally forget about them. They might put in a second one. They might totally forget about the original. So then they only, remove, and they have totally forget they have a second tampon in there. And the other thing is that they might end up having sex with the tampon in, because they completely forget it's in there.
We all have a friend who did it.
Oh, we all. And it can go right up to the top of the vagina, to the side of the cervix. So it's actually extremely difficult to find. So this is what the message today. If you suspect you have a tampon in there, don't be embarrassed for 1 second. Go get someone to check it out. Go to emergency department. You have no idea how many times a day we do this. On a Monday, you know, and someone might be saying to me, I'm so embarrassed. We're not embarrassed. We just use a speculum, like you're having a smear test, a little bit of a torch, and we can just fish it out. It's so easy. It's a 2 minute job. Into your GP, your GP nurse, they're experts at vaginas.
Oh God, they are. Listen, I just got a text in. Jen, toxic shock is rare, but I'm one of those people who had it. This texter says, I experienced toxic shock a few years back, and it's so important to say how easily it can happen. I simply put in a tampon, went about my day, went to change it by putting in another, but didn't take take the first one out. You just mentioned that, Sarah. A simple mind slip, but it resulted in 4-day stay in hospital. I don't think people are aware of the risks. Can you ask Sarah how common it is for something like this to happen? You just said it's very common.
So there was actually 3 deaths in the UK from toxic shock related to tampons last year. So there was no death in Ireland recorded that I could find. But again, you often hear of cases that people, if this bacteria gets into your system, release the toxins, you can get damage to your kidneys, and you mightn't die from the toxic shock, but you can still get sort of damage to your kidneys, something that you'd have to live with forever. So you can get really sick. And in terms of getting really sick from it, you have to remember that it comes on really quick. So these toxins
are
released.
Yeah, what are the symptoms?
Yeah, so essentially you might get a sudden onset of a super high temperature, like way over 38.5, but it'll come on you all of a sudden. A rash that looks like sunburn is very common. You might get flu-like symptoms, lethargic, sort of like what we're going to be talking about after with sepsis, same thing, dizziness. You just don't feel yourself. Fast breathing can be a sign of infection. It's often one of the first signs of infection, but you don't really register that. So if you suddenly feel unwell, you know it's your period, you've been using tampons, just make sure you take the tampons out, go and see a doctor. It's not normal to feel that unwell, you know. It can come on all of a sudden though, and then you've progressed, you need to go and get medical help, you know, the early intervention.
It's funny you said if you read the leaflet on the tampon, it's all there. Because I knew you were coming in. I read it for the first time in 25 years.
How did it go?
It was enlightening. I was like, what? Oh, I never, but it's funny because it's something I never thought of, is going down the absorbency of the tampon as you're finishing your period, and it's just something like simple like that could save you. So that's with tampons, but you mentioned wounds and burns and all that. So what else can we do to reduce the risk of toxic shock syndrome?
So just say you're in the garden and you get an insect bite, or just say you get a graze, you come off your bike and graze knee. It's really important to clean the wound. So have a first aid kit at home with some sort of, you know, get it from your pharmacy, something, and give the wound a really good clean. So that way you get rid of any potential bacteria that won't get into your bloodstream then. Taking care of wounds is absolutely hugely important. The other thing is, it'd be definitely linked to other things. Like, you know, if you ever have a nosebleed and you have that packing in your nosebleed, it looks, I think there was a Sex and City episode that they put a tampon up somebody's nose. So it's all the same concept. But just to make sure that you're aware that if you have, and we see nosebleeds all the time in emergency departments, and people get this packing in. But just to be aware that if you start feeling unwell when you've, and this nose packing in, go back to the doctor. Go to your GP, go back to the hospital.
Now, Sarah, we want to also address another topic that we got some texts in about when we mentioned you were coming in, and that is sepsis. Now, sepsis is something we hear about a lot when we're watching medical dramas on TV, but I had no idea how serious this is, and yet this one, so common in Ireland. So
massively.
Sepsis, what is it?
So basically, it affects, in terms of how common it is, it's 1 in 10 presentations to emergency department would be sepsis. That's absolutely enormous. That's 14,000 cases approximately every year. Now, it is on the decline, but actually they probably saw a slight incline because people were kind of frightened to go to emergency departments because of COVID in the last year. But generally speaking, it's one of the biggest killers globally. Around the world, sepsis is just, the problem is that it's hard to spot. So what sepsis is, it's a life-threatening illness, and it's caused by this your body's massive response to an infection. So you might have infection, your body goes into this overdrive, and then that overdrive then can affect your organs and damage your, you know, the inside of your body, if you think about it like that. It generally affects the very old, the very young, and the immunocompromised. And once it progresses, that's the problem with sepsis. So you might have a chest infection, be very common, we'd see a urinary tract infection, a skin infection, and then people will get sort of these sort of vague symptoms. So it's kind of hard to spot. But the problem is then it can progress quite easily into what we call severe sepsis and septic shock. And when you progress into those categories, when you get that, you have about a 25% chance of dying from sepsis. Like, it's really, really serious. So there's World Sepsis Day is the 13th of September this year, and they're doing a drive and they're asking everybody to ask themselves, could this be sepsis? So, yeah, especially in children. But the signs and symptoms. We base on this thing called a SIRS, and if you ever Google SIRS, it's really interesting, but a heart rate of over 90 beats a minute. So you can just find your pulse with your finger, or even look at, if you're wearing a fancy watch, have a look at your heart rate, right? Over 90 beats. at rest when you're sitting on the couch would be indicative of a potential infection, right? A high or a low temperature. And that's what catches people. So we call it cold sepsis. So a high temperature would be over 38.3. So take your temperature. If it's over that, keep an eye on it and see if it rises. If under, might feel cold touch and your temperature could be sort of 34, 35. And that's really important. So it could be high or low temperature. Lethargy, you wouldn't really feel like eating a steak dinner when you have the early onset of sepsis. So you'd be off your food, lethargic, flu-like symptoms.
Right.
In the elderly, confusion is very common. So someone have a big urinary tract infection, for example, and sepsis starting, and they can get quite confused. And then respiratory rate is if you normally should breathe between maybe 14 and 20 times a minute. But if you breathe more than 20 times a minute at rest, sitting on the couch, that's kind of indicative of the start of an infection. So just keep an eye on yourself. You can Google these symptoms on the HSE website quite easily. But it's just that if you have an infection, you're on antibiotics and you continue to feel unwell. So maybe you're 3 days into your antibiotics, feeling unwell, and you're worried, just go to your GP and you notice that you're breathing a little bit fast, you're feeling cold, you don't have the energy to get out of bed, go to your GP. Or if you're very worried, certainly go to an emergency department.
And do children and babies have different symptoms? Is that more or less the same?
Yeah, so see, when I mentioned respiratory rate, so babies up to 1 year can breathe up to 60 times a minute, 30 to 60 times. So they breathe a lot faster normally, yeah. All that sort of stuff. So your baby could present just that they're lethargic. They won't wake up for feeds. They might be kind of pale to touch, blue around the lips maybe. But poor feeding and just lethargy, weakness, that they're just not themselves. And I run for a paediatric first aid courses, and what I always just keep reminding people is that you know your children and your babies the best. So I have three children, they're all completely different. One cries all the time, one never cries, one cries occasionally. But I know them so well. If they were off form, that you just go with your gut, go to the doctor. So if I offered a Nutella sandwich to my middle child and she didn't take it, I'd be worried. So you know your child the best. So they might just be not waking up for feed. If they've had dry nappies for longer than 12 hours, that could mean that they're dehydrated, that sort of thing. Just keep any worries at all. If you know your child the best, and if you have any worries at all, maybe they might have a little cough and then progressively just not being themselves, certainly GP, absolutely.
There's no or harm, any. Absolutely. Jen, I was hospitalised with sepsis a few years ago while working abroad. You would not believe the tiny wound and the problems it caused. It was very sore, but not very big. So I left it alone for far too long. And back to your point that you made, which is interesting again, because sometimes if kids fall in the garden, whatever, you think, oh, they'll be grand, they'll be fine. But it's so important to clean the wound.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that initial first aid. Cycling is obviously, people are, the roads are absolutely full of cyclists. If you come off, that road rash,
yeah.
And it's really hard to clean because it's full of grit. Cleaning that really, really well in the shower, firstly with the shower head, clean that wound really well, get an antiseptic. You can just get antiseptic ointments and stuff like that. And the pharmacists are amazing people. Go in and ask them, get that wound cleaned, and then you're rid of the bacteria, you're rid of that risk of infection.
Well, thanks so much for all that information, Sarah. It was a lot, but I think it's really important to highlight these conditions, particularly as people can make a full recovery if it's spotted quickly. And I just want to ask you guys out there, is there any health issues or first aid topics that you would like Sarah to talk about in the future? Let us know. You can get in touch, jen@orty.ie, or you can text me 51552. Sarah Kearns from Baseline, you're an absolute star. Thanks for having me.
Two
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.